gonna erupt. They're gonna bust loose. Right? Yeah, they're gonna do it. They're gonna bust loose.
They're a powder keg juggernaut.
Okay. Average Joe conversation with average guys. Tyler and Wes with Walk the Plank.
All right, welcome everybody back to Walk the Plank Sports. It's been a long, drawn out week.
Kind of like the first round of the draft, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been interesting. It was a fiasco. I'm going to say this about the draft.
Well, I think we called it last show without actually calling it, about it being a wild first round, but I don't think we actually expected that to be that crazy.
Well, I never realized the most powerful man in sports on the planet would be the next Vince McMahon. He totally turned this into a circus act. And Roger Goodell.
You trying to say Goodell was behind the Laramie Tunsil stuff?
No, I'm not. No, that's absurd to even think that. But he certainly didn't stop it. He very well could have said, hey, let's protect this kid's future.
Well, he didn't stop it. And also, what I found interesting, I don't know if you heard this, was I think the next day, I think it was on Mike, and Mike in the morning, he was asked about it. He said, that's what makes the draft so great. Personally, I don't think that's great for any kid's future to be ruined like that. That shows the humanity.
It wasn't ruined. All it was a pop for him. That's what I'm saying. It was like a WrestleMania.
But when I say ruined, I'd say it's because that's the night he's been looking forward to his whole life as a football player. That's what you grow up dreaming, is to, you know, go to the draft, be drafted, you know, top 10, first round, whatever, but to actually be at the draft. And then he's at the draft. He's in the green room. He's big time. And then 5 minutes, 10 minutes before the draft starts, bam, that video hits his Twitter. And what I found funny was this reporter's like, why would he tweet that? That was just dumb. Well, no, he wouldn't tweet that. I mean, think things through. I mean, let's be logical here. There's no reason a kid who's getting ready to be drafted would ruin his own draft.
Well, we're going to touch all into that. We're going to do three segments, and we're going to touch onto it. But right now, let's focus directly on the draft. And, well, I guess, what have you got, Tyler?
Well, I've got a couple things. I mean, most of our viewers or followers, whatever, come from Central Mississippi area, are so it's going to be a state Ole Miss, you know, following majority-wise.
Right, right.
So I jotted down where everybody went. Started off with Dak. If I was a state fan, I'm not a Cowboys fan to begin with. I hate Jerry Jones. I've been very clear about that. I know some state fans, I know, are excited about Dak being in Dallas. I wouldn't be personally, but he went, you know, over the 135th overall, which is the 37th pick in the fourth round. I don't like that pick. I really don't. I know a lot of state fans called it the last couple of weeks, and they're excited about it, but I just...
Let's be real. If Paxton Lynch was there, the Cowboys...
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Jerry Jones
That. We wouldn't even be having this discussion right now. There would be no Dak at Dallas. That was a gift, basically.
Well, and Cleveland was ready to draft him next.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Jerry Jones came out and said if Paxton Lynch was there, he would have been honest. But my thing is, why didn't you trade up? You know Paxton Lynch is going to go in the first round. I knew that. You know, we talked about it in the last episode. Paxton Lynch would go to Denver.
Yeah.
The only question was whether they trade up or not to get him once they traded up. But if I knew that, you know that. Jerry Jones had to know that because he's got more intel than we do.
Solid pick on Ezekiel Elliott, though, with the Cowboys. But
yeah, heck of a playmaker. And I think he was rated the number one rookie fantasy player now. And Tunsil was number four. Not Tunsil, but Trevor was number four. And Coley was number five. And I can't remember the two and three. And let's go back to Tunsil. He was drafted by the Dolphins, which, in my opinion, was the most logical pick for the Dolphins because all these, once that video came out, teams took Tunsil off the draft board. The Ravens admitted they were drafting him, but once that video came out, they took him completely off the board, and other teams followed suit.
Yeah, because, good Lord, the Ravens don't want they're known for keeping clean players. Man, whatever.
Well, that's the whole NFL.
I mean –
What they, NFL they player that spoke pot?
It was not that. Ray Lewis. They had murderers.
Yeah, 187, 187. Supposing. Here he comes.
But
Miami, to me, was smart because they said, look, this is new, but he's the best player in the draft, or one of the best players in the draft. He's here. Let's take him. We'll worry about the rest later. And to me, that's the most logical thing to
do. Solid pick for Miami. So what else we got?
Robert Kimbici.
Where did we say was... Walk the Plank viewers, Tyler and I said that the playoff teams are drooling over Kamdichie, and what happened?
The playoff teams got a butt.
hold on.
If you watched Hey Rookie, the ESPN NFL special on the draft, the last episode, Robert Kamdichie thought he was going to the Raiders. That showed, and it showed backs behind the scenes of these certain NFL players, and Ole Miss's big three were in there, and a couple other guys, and Kamdichie he thought he was going to the Raiders because, like I said, last episode, I've been hearing from Oxford that Kimbichi was in close contact with the Raiders, which was, in fact, true. It's just, I don't know why they didn't draft him, but they did not. But he went 29th overall to the Cardinals. Then Chris Jones, I thought he'd go first round. That wasn't the case. He went to the Chiefs with the 37th pick overall. Which
that's a solid pick.
It's a great pick, but it's in the sixth pick in
Chris
the second
round. There's some really good D-line coaches over there at for Kansas. He's gonna adapt really well there.
The best pick of the draft to me was Laquon Treadwell, 23 overall in Minnesota. Minnesota's got a quarterback. They got a heck of a running back.
Bridgewater's gonna fit in nicely. Actually,
yeah, Adrian Peterson.
It's gonna be just like he never left Ole Miss with that Bridgewater. You got a running guy who can throw missiles and
then you got a running game to support.
Let's look at Minnesota. We're gonna do about real quickly here.
I got two more to go to tell. So.
They are known to put out Hall of Fame type wide receivers like Chris Carter Randy Moss. They haven't even had a guy like that. And while I'm not saying Laquon is a Hall of Fame guy, I'm just saying it's in the right direction.
Well, yeah, he's got a they've got a main receiver. I can't think of a name.
And it also makes sense why he went to the Vikings, guys. You know why he really went there? Not also, too, because of his catching ability, but his blocking. It's going to open up more Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get to the next one. Cody Core, which I found funny. It was a two-star out of Auburn, Alabama, but he wasn't fast enough for Auburn. Auburn never offered Cody Core.
Auburn has no business talking about not fast people.
Yeah, but he went 199th.
Their guy didn't even go to the draft. The guy was supposed to be all world last year and got kicked off the team.
Yeah, well, he's a head case. Cody Core went 199th overall, which is the 24th pick in the sixth round. Actually,
To the Bengals.
Yeah, I actually like that pick. He can sit and learn.
Playoff team.
Yeah, playoff team, but he can playoff sit team. And learn. And then Fon Cooper, who was the MVP of Ole Miss team last
That's
year.
My favorite pick right there. Fon, props up to you, man.
What he did, Tunsil's absence, and then moved over to his original position, which really opened up the running game for Ole Miss in the past.
Fine was the
four,
one.
Five, six games.
Fine was the one that did all that awesome blocking against Bama.
Yeah, he was the left tackle.
I mean, he
Bama,
was the one that just took over. People don't, want to talk about that, but that's the fact.
No, but he went to the 49ers, 174 overall, which is the 37th pick in round five.
Well, I predict he'll be blocking for Chad Kelly next year.
We'll see.
I know that's off the charts, but they have pick two next year, I think. Two or three.
We'll see. I mean, that's a ways away.
I know it is. We'll talk about that later, man.
But anyway, let's my throat is getting dry talking this much. Let me get you something to drink. Let's take a break, and I'll be back with you soon.
Yeah, soon. Right
Peace.
Next. All right.
Walk the plank.
Welcome back to Walk the Plank Sports. I just got some more tea. Tyler got him a Dr. Pepper because we're on fire, and we got to keep going with it because we're going to discuss the big topic across, it's not just America, it's the world, because in NFL, we're gonna get right down to it. You want me to start off with my opinion on Roger Goodell and then get into Tunsil? Or?
Yeah, man, that's fine.
All right, I'm going to touch real quick on Roger Goodell. Like I said in the first segment, this cat right here is, he's got, what, 31, 32 bosses. He's done great for the NFL, but he dropped the ball big time. In my opinion, now the Chicago deal, he's been very successful with this draft, but now it's looking more like he's turning it into a for clicks and pop bait.
Yeah.
You know, it's really not. It's just, and I like the things that he does. He brings out cheerleaders and they zone in to other camps, and they have the Marine Corps there chanting on the. I get all that, but Roger Goodell should have told Chucky to shut his mouth.
Just the whole broadcast.
Whole broadcast, it should have been said, hey guys, let's be professional and be the higher power. That's all I've got to say about it.
But I mean, in their defense, they were reporting the hot story.
Oh, they are reporting, but there's a way to report it. There's not, you report it and let it be. You don't slander a kid without having any facts. And that's what Gruden did. Gruden didn't have any facts what was going on. He still doesn't know, and he just totally threw Tunsil under the bus. And look where Tunsil still went, number 13. Okay, that's my rant on that. So now let's get into the big meat and potatoes. Tyler?
If you didn't watch the draft, we'll go over, I guess, a very quick recap for you. We say 5-10 minutes before the draft happened. It's when the video popped. Because I got my phone blew up pretty much as
Tunsil got drafted 13th, and the video was released 13 minutes before the draft.
All right, 13 minutes.
Because 13 down on the dot.
So who got L.A. was number one pick, correct? As they were on the clock, it's when I got.
We all knew the top three picks.
Yeah, we did.
We knew.
But what I'm saying is, my phone started blowing up as soon as L.A. went on the clock for their pick with the video about Tunsil. Then Tunsil went 13th, like Wes just said. As soon as Tunsil was selected, these screenshot text messages came out. You knew then, at that point, this wasn't a coincidence. You probably knew it the first time, but if you weren't sure the first time the video came out, you knew it for sure when these text messages came out. This was a direct shot at Laramie Tunsil.
I think it was more than that, because after King Tunsil got drafted, why keep throwing coals on the fire? I think this was to sabotage the other two. I think it was to sabotage Kamdichie and Treadwell. That's my personal opinion. I don't know, but you know what? It really doesn't matter because.
Well, I mean, if they sabotaged, they all went the first round anyway. There's multi.
They were going to go, barring something, a murder. They were going in the first round.
Yeah, well, I mean, Robert to me would be the. Going into the draft was the biggest story because it was questionable if he was going first. And I started hearing right toward the draft when it started was mid second round.
You and I both said flat out, he's either going to the Raiders or he's going to a playoff team. Bottom line, and that's what we said about Robert.
We've been saying that for a couple months now.
We have been saying that, and I knew that Robert was not going to go past a playoff team. He's just that good.
But anyway, back to Tunsil.
Exactly.
Ben Garrett, the Ole Miss spirit, sent those text messages to an IT guy out in L.A. that he knows. The IT guy came back to Ben Garrett, the Ole Miss spirit, and said they're fake. Those are not real texts. I'm pretty certain I saw those same texts last summer.
And I know they were fake because of the times and the text from John Miller to John Miller.
Yeah,
That don't make any sense.
The timestamps are off, and then, like you said, John Miller's just texting himself, I guess. I mean, he must have a pretty boring life. Those are real. He's texting himself all that. But anyway, and if you listen to Laramie Tunsil's, and this is the damning part to me, or could be damning part, is the supposed admittance of pay for play by Ole Miss because Laramie Tunsil.
Okay.
But let me get it.
Let's say he gave him $300.
Well, here's my thing.
Woo!
This was someone West before the show.
Oh, my God. $300. Is that all it costs to get Laramie Tunsil?
Yes. But.
That's it?
Either. There's two ways I've heard about this. Either Ole Miss paid Laramie Tunsil all this cash. That was the. Going into this, that was the thinking. Ole Miss paid him all this cash. But yet,
which it didn't say in the fake text.
No, they never said anything about, you know, here, meet us at this place this time, we'll give you cash. You never saw Ole Miss, and if those texts were real, you never saw Ole Miss saying, okay, here's the money, meet us here for the money. You never saw that. It was just asking a question for money. But the thing is, the thinking coming into the draft, and all through Laramie Tunsil's career, Ole Miss gave him all this cash. But now he's supposedly asking for $300? $300, that's it. What's one is it? Is it he's had all this cash and the texts are fake, or all this cash is BS and he was really asking for, you know, $300?
I got a point to add to this. I've given football players myself in the Grove more than $300 in food in a single game.
And beer.
And beer in a single game.
And
they do it in Starkville. They do it in Baton Rouge.
Tuscaloosa. They do it Athens, Gainesville. Man, they do it everywhere.
I have been to football games in Baton Rouge where they'll roll up a cooler slam full of Crown Royal and just give it. That's easily $400 or $500 worth of liquor. I know it's not a light bill. Heaven forbid we pay for a light bill.
Such horrible individuals.
Oh my goodness. Does the light bill have chrome on it and platinum? Okay. Oh, it sure wasn't a Cadillac Escalade.
And I think
jab.
We're not even going there. But anyway, the IT guy came back and said those texts were fake. And the thing, like I was trying to get it to the press conference, Laramie Tunsil was asked if he was paid by coaches. His first answer was no. And then he had this barrage of questions about, did you see the text? Were the text real? Did you get paid by the coaches? This, that, and the other. I mean, to me, I've listened to it time and time again, and every few times I come up with a new opinion.
Well, it's real simple.
I've seen the set on that He didn't know what he was answering to.
He didn't know how many texts, what texts he's had a phone. He's had an iPhone that for probably over 3 or 4 years. What text he, of course he's going to have to
say. I mean, his dream light has been ruined. He's getting all these questions.
That'll all change.
And he got real frustrated. And if you, I can tell you that for a fact, because the woman that ran out whispering away, he said, Neil McCready from the rebelgrove.com.
He turned around and goes, look, this guy from Mississippi.
Let me answer this. I know this guy. He's from Mississippi. And she said, no, wish him out. You can tell at that point he was frustrated. So, I mean, I'm not saying he didn't know what he was answering, but you don't know what he was answering to. I mean, you're not Laramie Tunsil. Only Laramie Tunsil knows what's going on in his head. And if most people watched or heard that one little clip, they didn't listen to the press conference in its entirety. And that's like reading a book by just a few little words. You're not going to get the whole story by just a few little words. It's just not going to happen. But, I mean, the precedent was set even before the draft, like I said, because Ole Miss was, you know, rumored to be paying all these players. And, I mean, their minds were made up.
Let's fast forward, and we can go back to it doesn't matter now what is going on. He is a pro.
And that leads me to Max's point.
He does not have to say, okay, all the witch hunt people out there, he doesn't have to say, Jack, it's over.
And then, like Lawrence said, he's not a student athlete of the NCAA anymore. He's a professional football player in the NFL.
He can tell him to walk the plank.
And he will. And he has.
He already has.
But, yeah, the NFL, if they didn't know about it, which I'll bet my soul they did, but if they didn't, just for argument's sake, say they didn't, they go to Laramie Tunsil, like, look, we need to know about these texts. Laramie Tunsil to say, you know, she won't fly, don't bother me. Then they go to Ole Miss coaches. Well, they're not in court of law, so they can't be, you know, charged with perjury. They can tell the NCAA she won't. Like, where do they go from there? It's not. They can't. It's a dead issue.
Bottom line.
They can open up a new investigation.
No.
But they've been there, what, 3-4 years now, so they probably won't find something they haven't already found.
What are they going to find? Laramie's not there anymore. Laquan's not there anymore. Robert's not there anymore. They can't investigate. The people are gone.
I mean, it's like I feel like I'm in math class with a student that, you know, kind of understands the equation, but it's not following all the steps and gets the wrong, like totally the wrong answer.
This much stink wasn't brought up about Reggie Bush, and that was a far worse deal.
Yeah. But, let's go on the text. I've talked to you about this probably since it happened, about the people we've heard that were the that released these texts and the video and all that. We talked about that, correct?
Yeah.
All right. We've heard several names. We're not getting into that, and I really don't care to be the one to release it. I've done a ton of research on it, and I've got several names. And if you have half a brain, you can follow up on the leads too. It's not hard to do. But I mean, do you care to actually research and release the name, whether we find it or not? Because I don't care to break this. I don't care to.
No, you want my honest opinion? I think it's going to. At first, I thought that, hey, this guy was going to get exposed and all this. Well, I don't think anything's going to happen now with the guy. It will all happen underneath the table because there's. What is Miami? Miami doesn't care about Ole Miss or the NCAA. They're there to protect their investment in Laramie Tunsil.
A very expensive investment.
So they don't want any more added drama. Sorry, all you fans that want to see this blow up, but it's not.
But the thing, I think you're right on that. I think the name will leak out eventually, and that's what's going to hurt this guy's career.
It will a year or two down the road, but right now, no.
No, and I believe...
Right now, no, and I also want to touch on this. Let's say these sanctions that are coming down and this hacker is involved with it or whatever, of wanting to put Ole Miss supposedly under the ground, it wouldn't matter if Ole Miss did have 12 or 13, even 15 scholars taken away over 3 years and a 3-year probation. It's not going to hurt their recruiting, and it's definitely not going to hurt their power of play next year, because what are you going to do? Take away their recruits? That's not going to happen.
No.
Only thing that would hurt Ole Miss in this thing is a bowl ban.
A bowl ban, a games ban, and
Yeah.
But
well, they're going to vacate.
Vacate. We agree. Vacate. Probably. I'm pretty sure
four or five. No, not four or five wins. I'm thinking they're going to vacate in 2011 or 12, which they didn't do anything.
No, it would be 2010, 2011 when those two players played. But Ole Miss didn't win, Jack, those years, so whatever. But let's go back to what we...
Well, you know what? You want to take a quick break and then come back
and follow up
on that?
We can.
Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and come back and finish it up, and we'll go from there. See you guys soon.
Peace.
Walk the plane.
Welcome, everybody, back to our final episode of... Final segment, that is, of Walk the Plane Sports.
I know where you're going, but...
We're hot on it with Laramie Tunzel. So we're going to keep it going.
All right, I got several questions. All right, since, you know, those texts, and again, let's go back to the argumentative side. You know, say they were real. What did Ole Miss pay them? Was it from the scholarship? Or how did it work out? Where's that money coming from? Or did they pay the full 305 or 350? Or did they give them payments? And again, did he realize what he was saying? I mean, there's my two big questions. If those were legit tags.
You'll never get the question. You'll never get the answer to it because the NCAA, when they go knocking on Tunzel's door, he's going to give them the bird.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it.
But here's where I also want to go with this.
They can't seize his phone.
No, they can't. But here's where I want to go with this. Everybody's saying that was a mitness by Laramie Tunzel. All right, apparently, if you think that's all it takes for Ole Miss to get the hammer or get in trouble or the NCAA to even pay
$300 from a light bill?
No, I was just talking about Laramie Tunzel. I'm talking about him at the payment. An HBO in 2011 came out with a special, kind of like a behind the football special on Auburn, where four players came out and said they were paid for play by Auburn. Did anything come of that?
Man, I remember the whole Auburn thing. I was like, Auburn is going under the table and nothing happened. And then Cam Newton.
Then
nothing happened. Well, they built him a church.
Yeah, and I could go on a totally different direction with the Cam Newton and Auburn thing there. But
that's a whole nother. That's two segments.
And then DJ Flicker of Alabama tweeted he accepted payments from Alabama to pay at Alabama. That's in words. In words, like in his writing, pretty much, that he was paid to play at Alabama.
Good job for us for not even mentioning Mississippi State, because we don't have to.
Irrelevant.
We don't have to talk about their pay-for-play players, because they just got off probation for that.
Yeah, and they went to a strip club, and...
It happens. It happens every... I mean, all the... You know, I would like to see Ohio State's payroll.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Or Michigan's. I hear they pay pretty good up north.
Bottom line is I feel for Tunzel, and I feel for the future kids coming into the draft nervous, like, oh my God, dude. Is somebody gonna do this to me? You know, people are and this brings up a question I wanna ask the viewers. Do you think that because of this that coaches are going to keep their players on lock with their phones and the social media?
Possibly. But, I mean, here's...
Call it the Tunzel Law now?
Here's the thing, and this is going to be a great lesson for all you parents out there with teenage kids. You don't do stuff like that in public. One, I don't condone, and I know Wes don't condone it, you know, drug use. But if you're going to be... If you have to, you know, smoke pot or... whatever your drug of choice is, don't do it in a public place where there's a chance or likelihood you'll be captured on video, especially if you're a high profile kid like Laramie Tunzel was.
It got leaked from somebody that Laramie supposedly trusted. And Dante Moncrief said it best. His circle of trust was not very trusting.
No.
They were in it for a bigger... You know, bigger thing, or either they, who knows what's really going on?
I'm pretty sure we know what's going on. I think the financial advisor is true. As far as I understand, this guy was still in Laramie's circle around.
There's other people involved with that financial advisor, though. I could bank on that.
Yes, there is.
I don't want to talk about it, But I promise you, there's other people involved. How would he get ideas to do something like this?
This is Nick Saban's biggest threat, too. And I agree with Nick Saban. I don't agree with Nick Saban on a lot of stuff. But I do agree with him on this about, you know, the financial advisors slash runners being allowed around these high-profile kids. They're nothing but they do nothing but hurt the kids to try to, you know, up their payments and, you know, get them to sign with, you know, whatever agent.
By the way, Laramie didn't have this financial advisor through his career, you idiots out there who's like, oh, he had a financial advisor. Yeah, he's been pro since after the Sugar Bowl. When the Sugar Bowl was over, he became pro. That's when he had
It's legal to have a financial advisor. You cannot have an agent.
Right,
he's had an agent since the Sugar Bowl. He's had a financial advisor since last summer. That's, you know, remember the stepdad, him down to fight? It was over those runners slash financial advisor.
It was over his stepdad beating his mom in the face.
Yes, that's part of it too. But
yeah, why would you do that to somebody that big? I mean, have you seen Laramie's mom? I'm talking about she is tiny.
Yeah.
She is tiny. You know, she looks nothing. My Lord.
But I also heard Robert Kimbici. I actually saw a video of Robert Kimbici today. You know, get ready for his NFL.
He's boxing. Robert's boxing.
Who in their right mind would step in a boxing ring with Robert Kimbici?
I don't know. He fell out of a window and got
walked away from it.
Away.
Like, nothing happened.
Woo!
I'm good.
So basically, the Laramie Tunsil thing, I guarantee you the draft will be different next year. There will be procedures and precautions put in a board for things like this.
Yeah, I believe so. And I believe this would also help Nick Saban's argument against the runners slash financial advisors. They're not good for the kids. They're not good for college football.
Yeah, because Nick Saban's got to worry about some more stuff going down there with Bo Davis. So.
Yeah, we can get into that too. But
We're not. Because that whole situation over there, there's a lot of smoke, no fire yet.
Well, you know,
no fire,
where there's smoke,
there's a lot
there's
of smoke.
Fire.
They say that, but sometimes the smoke is just exactly what it is. It's
like
just
the Cam Newton deal.
Like it's FBI. Just smoke. We really don't even know. Man, I tell you what, that the whole thing is the Cam Newton thing just bothers me. To this day, it bothers me, and I'm gonna tell you, and it's gonna hurt a lot of people's. The opposition of Ole Miss is going to hurt their feelings because there's going to be a lot of smoke with Laramie Tunsil, too. And years down the road, they're going to scratch their head and go, why didn't anything come about this?
Well, I mean, here's what I keep telling people. If Ole Miss, I'm not, like, why don't they Ole Miss talk? Ole Miss, I think, they're, personally, if it's me, I would fight back. I would tell the NCAA, you know, prove it. I don't think you can.
I would, too, but you don't know what else is
but
out there. You don't want to do that.
But I'm not on their legal counsel, is what I was about to say. I don't know what's the behind the scenes ongoing is. Nobody really does. but I mean, I think Ole Miss is smart in the aspect saying, let's keep hush. Right now, we're gonna have a huge black eye in the PR, public relations department. But in the long run, you know, as long as we keep winning, and nothing comes to this NCAA deal, they'll be fine.
Well, with that being said, we got to call it a show.
That's fine.
And we'll see you soon, guys. Give us your feedback.
Peace.